Jacob was saying something about joining, but then I don't know. It's kind of weird.
He could if he wanted to, but we wouldn't
Yeah,
know
I told him he
who
could.
was
I
who.
Yeah, it would get a little confusing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I
I can't
told
tell
him,
you
like,
all apart when I look at you, much less when I listen
yeah,
to
I
you.
told him, like, just do it next time so that no one gets confused or anything.
Yeah.
He could just like slide in and just don't tell
But
anybody.
we've
Like,
been
well,
talking about
yeah.
this for 2.5 weeks, and he has not expressed interest in wanting to be on the show. He only wants to come on so he can say something about Buffalo or San Francisco.
Yeah, and his
He
third
wants to
favorite team is the
sabotage.
Saints. The Saints
Yeah.
have made it to the third favorite on his
Maybe
list,
he should
so.
just go on the Rice-A-Roni podcast.
We might be talking to Jake right now, and really
It's
it's not
sabotage.
Drew. It's not Drew. It's
I
Jake.
promise it's
I
me.
know the
Hold on.
difference. I promise it's me, he says. What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast. What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk because I'm still not drinking.
And you're not
so
dead.
And I'm not dead, so this is a good sign.
Welcome back.
That's right. Oh, is this my first show back?
It is.
Since
it is.
The gallbladder surgery?
It is.
Ah, okay.
He
I don't remember.
Welcome back, Cotta.
Welcome back,
Cotta.
Welcome
Mr.
back,
Cotta.
Now,
like
I had my post-op appointment today, and the doctor said everything is good to go. I just have to eat healthy.
For the rest of your life.
Apparently, why has no one told us that eating healthy would actually prolong your life?
Never heard it.
Seems like
hi, everybody.
Apparently, I've been using the Saints team doctors all my life.
All right.
So let's see. What is this? Primetime games against Seattle means one thing. Rain. And the Saints reigned supreme. Jason, thanks for the headline. In the rain.
That wasn't my headline.
Against
that
the
was
rain.
James.
Oh, that was James.
He
who
stole,
stole
it.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. You would thread the needle. Yeah. Okay. So you messed up my thing. All right. Rain. And the Saints reigned supreme in the rain against the reigning NFC West champions. You know, you remember? All right. Sean Payton is now has a 5-1 regular season record against the Seahawks. I did not know it was that good. He's 3-1 at Lumen Field.
That's what it's called now, Lumen Field.
Yep. That's what it said on the side of it. Saints improved their all-time regular season all-time against the Seahawks to 9-6. That's a team that one of the rare teams that we own. And we got our third consecutive win against the Seahawks dating back to 25-20, an overtime victory at home on October 30th, 2016. I'm bringing all this up because before the game, you would have thought that the only two times the Saints had ever played against the Seahawks were in the year that we lost to them in the regular season and in the playoffs 3 weeks later, because that is the only thing that anybody would ever show you or talk about on ESPN.
It was that one run by Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, that's the only play. They didn't even play 60
yeah.
minutes. They played one play, Marshawn Lynch ran the ball, and they won two games out of it. That's
yeah.
what happened.
Very proud of him.
All right. So put your seatbelts on. Keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
No number tonight. I had my number last night. And, you know, the primetime games, it's always a late night. So then I had to edit the instant reaction. So I didn't get to bed until midnight, I think. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
Oh,
don't need to be drinking at all. I'm going to try to save up and try to slow it down in preparation for Nashville, because Nashville's
that gallbladder,
right? Right.
That's right. Caution. I'm a cautionary tale. Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am also a zero. Sorry to be a bummer.
It's okay. We have a reason.
Yes, we do. Well, yeah, I have to go drive in a few minutes to pick up my kids. So.
That's Louisiana. You're fine.
Yeah. It's Rapides right. Parish.
I'm another right. reason we're all zeros is this is a kid-friendly Dome Patrol podcast episode. with the first official. He's been on kind of in the background. He made one or two comments, but he's full-time Woo-hoo. Guest on the show. My son, Andrew, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Surprisingly, zero. I just drank a body armor. I don't know if that counts.
A body armor?
You guys don't like body armor?
What is body armor?
What is that?
It's like the new Gatorade. Like,
it's
he's a millennial.
Okay, TikTok.
Got a point there, Charlie.
All right, so you drank a body armor, so you probably have a higher number than all the rest of us. Yep. Your electrolytes,
kind of chemicals are in that thing,
right? So this is welcome to Dome Patrol Kids. Yay!
Are we gonna have like Nickelodeon slime?
All right, so y'all did the instant reaction show. One of the things that we're changing this year is we're not necessarily going to do full game recap, but we are going to still talk a little bit about maybe there were some points that were either missed, points that need to be elaborated, or points that need to be reinforced from yesterday's game. And so that is going to be today's, what's the...
He's raising his hand.
I don't have a tag. I don't have a segment for it, but Andrew, I said that you would actually start us off and lead us through this segment. So this is Andrew's game memories.
I don't know. The first thing I noticed was Davenport coming back and increasing the pass rush more, because like when I watch Saints games, one thing I don't really see that much is pass rush. But this game, you know, he had 5 sacks, which made our entire season in total have 8 sacks. I don't really know.
That's better than his dad.
Yeah, I mean.
That's not me saying much.
Yeah, right.
I don't really have anything else about that's the game. that was the game I watched.
So the awesome thing is we get Onyemata back next week,
which we're gonna need.
So imagine how good that pass rush is gonna be.
We just need Davenport to stay healthy. He is a difference maker. I mean, he made the rest of the line play great, and now Smith's now sticking Onyemata in there.
He's Davenport's so good that he got Cam Jordan a sack.
I was just thinking that.
That's how good Davenport is,
right? Dude, yeah. That's a difference maker right there.
I mean, can you believe this is we're actually mentioning Davenport like this, considering all the ribbon he's taken for the last few years?
He's the lead story. I mean, Andrew made him the lead story.
Yep. I mean, and he's getting the ribbon because he can't stay healthy.
What a deal, because he's only 2 firsts. That's all we had to give up for him.
That's it. We didn't have to give up four picks like Troutman.
Speaking of that, so Troutman, bust or still time?
He's still good.
Yes, I agree with Andrew. He's not a bust. He's still young. You know, he's still got time. He had a fumble. They don't throw to him a lot. You know, it's hard to... I mean, you're in a game.
Because they know you can't play.
I don't know. I mean, you're not getting passes thrown to you, and then all of a sudden they're starting coming your way. It's not always easy, you know? And I know he's professional, and he's supposed to know how to do it, whatever, but he's still a young kid. He's not a bust. I don't think he's a bust. Now, to Jason's point, 4 draft picks, might want to think about that again next time.
Right, yeah. That goes, I mean, it's not his fault that
right.
Mickey and Sean did that. That's on those right. two, but... Yeah, you would like to start seeing more from him, especially since our receiving options are it's kind of necessity, and he hasn't shown it yet. Could still come out. You know, it like Scott said, it is too early to call him a bust, but I'd like to see something on a more consistent basis. And maybe just the entire offense in general, I think. And Peyton mentioned it too. It's just we had opportunities last night. Jameis missed a few throws, and then the receivers missed a few, you know, couldn't come up with plays either. So it was kind of both.
And now, speaking of
the receivers having the dropsies the way that they did, please tell me that was more because of the rain than it was I know they're not good, but they were especially bad last night.
Yeah. Peyton said the Saints wide receivers weren't as good as he hoped against Seattle and said the position's still a work in progress. So here's my theory that I came up with today about the wide receivers. Peyton in the offseason in Loomis didn't go really go after wide receivers. They kept saying, our wide receivers are fine, our wide receivers are fine. Now, they probably thought Thomas would be back by now. Okay, so let's just take that. Look, everybody knows how great Breeze was. Peyton knows how great Breeze was, right? But I think he overestimated the wide receivers because of Drew Breeze. Because Breeze, he was so accurate and was so great that it made all the wide receivers look amazing. Now you have a quarterback. Look, Jameis is great too, okay? I'm saying Jameis is great. He's not on Breeze's level yet. Our wide receivers weren't getting open for Breeze. Breeze was throwing them open a lot of times and hitting tight spots with the accuracy.
That 30 well, other quarterbacks in the league probably couldn't do either, right? I mean, right. It's not right. I get what you're
one?
Saying. It's
but who's the one?
Tom Brady.
Brady.
Thank you. Know. Well, I hope we can hit Brady to next game with our defensive
line. Save it for game preview.
Oh, I mean, is that a crazy theory that maybe rookie he just mistake. Overestimated the
way to go, Troutman?
He overestimated the wide receiver talent.
I think he definitely overestimated, but I don't know that that's because I mean, the last 2 years outside of Michael Thomas, I think it's and you know, we did have Sanders last year who was okay, but our receivers have been pretty bad the last 2 years.
Callaway looked good last year
in one game that he played before he got hurt. You know, the rest of our receiving core was pretty trash. Traquan's been trash. And Breeze isn't the Breeze of old where he can elevate everybody else like he used to.
Right? Yeah, but so, when Peyton asked Breeze about the offense and he stumbled for a minute and a half before he was saved
Peyton
by the
Manning,
bell.
Not Sean Payton.
Yeah. Breeze was pretty much like he made a few, like if you read between the lines, he was like, it's the same plays that they ran. So I'm a little concerned that, like, why didn't Sean Payton create a little bit of a new different playbook for Jameis Winston than Drew Brees? But okay, whatever. Every offense probably has all the same plays. It's about a little nuance each and things to it. What I was picking up that Brees wasn't saying, like, is it's the same plays. I would have probably been a lot more successful because he's not seeing Jameis check down or find the open guy or throw the open guy. You know what I mean? Like, Brees did more with the same plays. Where Jameis, I do get the kind of feeling like Jameis is looking at like the first read, sometimes maybe the second read. Maybe some of that has to do with the fact that the offensive line isn't blocking for shit. But even the times that he has time, it's almost like he's going to the red, you know, on the play sheet, the red route, you know.
I think he can get there. Like, I think he's still young and he can get there. You know, we've done comparisons to Breeze first few years in the league as opposed to Jameis. And I think he can get there. It's just going to take time. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all it is. It's going to take time. And I mean, that's it.
All right. So yesterday on the Instant Reaction show, y'all did not, or if you did, you glossed over it. And I think we need to dig a little deeper into that last would have been touchdown to Juwan Johnson.
I talked about it.
But yeah, you brought it up, but y'all didn't really harp on it.
Because I got poo-pooed on it. So.
Well, I'm wiping
I thought we agreed with you that it would have been a touchdown, right?
Yeah but there's more to something. Be concerned about with that play. Like Sean Payton, like what happened? Do y'all saw that play? Like Andrew, did you see that play too? Where if you caught them reviewing the play after
it looked like Jameis
that's the play like I'm right. sorry like that's the play. How do you not look for Juwan Johnson on that play? And when you're rushed and the guys you are going to get rushed on that play because half of your line is moving out for the screen, why didn't he just quickly throw it to where he was supposed to throw it?
It looked like everybody knew the play except for Jameis. Like everybody ran what they were supposed to and just Jameis didn't know that it was the play.
Or maybe, like you said, he was only looking at the red route and Juwan Johnson wasn't the red route.
No, in that play, Juwan Johnson was the red route. Right? That's the problem.
Maybe he just didn't see him. I don't know.
He panicked. I think he panicked when he got the guys coming after him. He's like, but
here, you take
if
it.
If you look at it, like when he dropped back and maybe he just didn't, maybe he waited too long. He didn't have time. Like he was setting it up because so. When he drops back, he turned to his right, looking to the right side of the field. Juwan Johnson was on the left side of the field behind him. So I don't know if he was looking over here, like to set up to turn back and throw to Juwan Johnson, or if
you think he was trying to
never looked
cute?
At Juwan
you
Johnson.
Think he was trying to be cute? Hey, look, I'm going to throw it over here.
Well, not so much. Maybe not cute, but just to set it up. Just to like, but you got to be quicker. Like you can't stand over there. It's like it needs to be a quick, like a quick look and then throw it to the left.
To get maybe your defensive backs or your safety to cheat a little bit over to the other side.
Right. But I mean, Juwan Johnson had all the linemen in front of him and there was no one on that side of the field.
That was a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so was the Traquan.
Yeah. Look, no route. These are things that we've
and
seen.
And so was the Kenny Stills drop.
Missing plays and being inaccurate on some throws like that. It may work in the regular season. It's not going to cut it if you hope to advance in the playoffs.
Absolutely not. Now, all that in mind, Andrew, you had a question you wanted to ask about.
Oh, that the one that I told you earlier?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking like after like our performance, it was a 13-10 and we won by 3 points and Seattle was missing the Russ Wilson, their number one QB and their number one running back, Chris Carson. So I was wondering, like, I was just thinking about this in my head, not planning on asking this to the podcast, but I was asking myself, and I was like, would we have been able to win if they had Russ Wilson and Chris Carson?
Depends. Would we have had David Onyemata and Michael Thomas and all of our injured players?
So how come they get theirs and we don't get ours?
Right. I mean, maybe not, but the good thing is we didn't have to worry about it.
I don't know. I mean, maybe we would have won because it was the defense played lights out.
They did.
The question is, would the defense have stopped Carson like they stopped Penny?
It seemed like Pete Carroll didn't really let Geno Smith throw a lot of passes outside of that first pass. Like he really didn't let him sling it. And I know our defense did play well, but with Russ back there, he'll let Russ do whatever he wants. And I'm sure the game unfolds very differently. Whether we win or lose, I don't know. It would have been a lot harder, but
yeah, wasn't it Seattle last year that where there was like let him cook or something, like the whole thing about unleashing Russell Wilson,
let Russ cook,
something like that. I forget.
I don't know.
But that was something else. Drew Brees, when Peyton Manning asked him something about what would you do here, and Brees was like, "Well, I would throw it to DK Metcalf." Because he's my best receiver and I'm just going to put it in a place where I know only he can catch it. So it is kind of interesting to think like Drew Brees, that's why he threw it to Michael Thomas as much as he did and when he did. But it's also interesting that you're right. Like Seattle never relied on Metcalf, even though even if he's not open, Lattimore's on him. They wouldn't even attempt half the time to go to him.
They knew who's going to lock him up.
That's right. He got lucky on one play.
Well,
he committed offensive interference.
I think as a quarterback, I want to throw
into it
because they were like him and Lattimore were fighting a lot or something like on the field.
Yeah.
So like maybe he thought that when he throw it up and Lattimore would jump up and knock it down, DK Metcalf might have like started a fight or like offense pass interference or something like that. But I was confused on a play they called a DK Metcalf pushed Lattimore. After the play, then Lattimore pushed him back and they called a penalty on Lattimore only.
That's the refs only see the second half.
That sounds like the refs to me, the usual.
Oh, yeah, they weren't good last night. We didn't really talk about them a ton, but they were pretty bad last night. I mean, that stupid, you saw the text
the
today.
The
stupid, the Davenport roughing the passer. I mean,
he barely touched the guy on his way down. He fell. I mean, and he touched his shoulder or something. Like
that's... I would just like I'd like to be in the ref's head when he sees that and be like, "Yep, let me reach in my pocket and throw it." Because that's a like how does your brain process that being a penalty? I don't get it.
Because he was wearing a Fleur de Lis on his uniform.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's it's like? Is that Saints player making contact with a quarterback? No, we can't have that.
Did he just smile at him after he caught that pass?
DK punches him in the face. Yep, everything checks out here.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're good.
All right. Other news that has popped up: Will Lutz is out for the year. Is this true?
Yeah, apparently he had a setback because he practiced last week.
At least we don't have Rosas. I mean,
good point. Good point. So we'll go. Yeah, we'll go with the guy with Brian Johnson, and I can do my AC/DC impersonations again. I'll save it for the Instant Patrick show because it's terrible. I'll just.
Didn't Traquan Smith and James Winston have a few little arguments?
They had a little argument, but I like to see Jameis take control of the situation. Peyton looked at him, and Peyton was like, "Yep, tell him."
Yeah, I was very impressed that Jameis did that because it showed his leadership. The interviews and stuff are great, but this is what is really showing his leadership, just busting his balls because he messed up, and then Peyton just leaving it alone and just letting him take care of it. And apparently Peyton chewed out Traquan too, like either right before that camera was on him or whatever. So he definitely deserved it.
Yeah. And he needed it a couple of times apparently, because he finally, though, it sunk in and he actually completed a pass or caught a pass, what, after the third or fourth attempt to him all game?
He did. He really had a rough game. I know it's just his first game back, but man, when you're a third round pick and our lack of receiving talent, we need production from him.
It's almost like so he was out. Well, and the team moved on, and the team all came up with, all right, guys, we're kind of like the whole Jameis in the offseason say, like, don't ever slow down, keep running. I'm going to put the ball in your hands. Don't worry about that, blah, blah, blah. And everybody's on board with that. Traquan was out. So because he was out, he was checked out. So he shows up now. Here we go. Week, what, 4, 5, 7 or something. He's like, hey, everybody, I'm here. He's jogging his routes. And everybody's like, dude, that's not us. We don't do that. Like, he needed to be reminded, like, dude, we are route finishers. We run routes around here.
I wonder how much he practiced. Like, it didn't even look like he had practiced with the team. I mean, on some of the plays he was running, I mean, he was lining up in the wrong spots. He was that play in the, I think it was our first drive that Jameis, where he stopped his route instead of keep running. It just looked like he hadn't even practiced at all.
He may not have.
Didn't look great. We need him to play better next week.
I think Troutman is going to be the future franchise of our receiving corps.
Ew, boy.
Then we're in a lot worse trouble.
Yeah, then we're in trouble.
Although he's better than Jerry Cook, in my opinion.
I don't know. He pretty much did a Cook last night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's picking up where Cook. He learned under Cook's tutelage. Yeah, so that's why he's acting like that. All right, some other Jason, did you have something else about the game yet?
Well, I thought Gilligan had another good game.
He's putting those returners on an island.
You know, early in the game, down one inside, what, at like the 3 or the 2 again.
Nobody?
He had his little dance in the locker room, which was nice. And then also Andrus Pete injured himself last night, and looks like he could be out for the season.
Pete's going to Pete.
I mean, torn pec, which it's like sucks. Like, we hate Pete when he plays, and then we get angry when he – Mrs.
Well, and he hasn't been that much of a turnstile this year. And I mean, I think you're right. Like, if you really think about his entire career, like, he's played better than he gets, I think, the reputation for. It's just that when he lets up a sack, it's
when he lets up quarterbacks get hurt.
Possible time, or he gets, Drew Brees hurt and stuff. So him being out, I mean, we've been playing without McCoy and Armstead, so I don't think it's going to have that big of an impact, because now that we have McCoy back.
It does seem, and maybe this is part of the offensive line shuffling, it does seem like Ramchek's kind of regressed for whatever reason. I don't know if he's hurt and we don't know about it, but he seems to not be playing at his usual all-pro level. Something to keep an eye on going forward.
I don't think with our doctors that he's dealing with anything. Our doctors are top notch. They would know. That was
sure about that. Yeah.
All right. I got a couple of statistics to read before we get into pick'ems.
I'm a scat man.
We do have a Kamara segment of statistics, but the first one is the Saints have a streak of 310 regular season games without having been shut out. That is 310 dating back to a 26-20. This is the first time we didn't get shut out. 26-20 win at Tampa.
What year?
In 2002.
Wow.
Nice.
The longest running streak in the NFL. The Saints have not been shut out.
That means better than the Bills and the 49ers, right?
That is correct. Is Jake in the room?
No.
Okay. But he'll be listening. All right. New Orleans surrendered 10 or fewer points. Now follow this one. 10 or fewer points while also having 5 sacks. So we got 5 sacks, which results in 10 or fewer points. We've done this 3 times in our history, all against bird mascot teams. Seattle is now one of them. The other two, Atlanta.
Classic Falcons.
One of those Atlanta games was September 25th, 2006. Perhaps you remember that game.
I might, Rabbit. I might.
All right.
One other thing, just want to give more props, and I know we talked about him last night. DeMario Davis is just
He's awesome. He gets
unbelievable,
physical.
Unbelievably awesome, DeMario Davis.
Dude, can we? Like, he's better than Vilma was, right?
How about Well, who's the guy? Warner.
Werner.
Werner.
The other guy. Yeah. Trying to fit in with DeMario Davis.
Was Kwan back last night? I didn't even notice.
He played a few snaps last night. They kind of eased him back. Because I really, with the emergence of Werner, you know, we have the ability to just kind of ease Kwan back and don't re-injure him real quick.
Okay, let's blow your mind for a minute. So next week, it's in Saints preview, but all right, we're going to have Onyemata, Davenport, full complement of linebackers. Like, so many good linebackers, there's too many to put on the field at the same time. Marshawn Lattimore, Adebo.
And the other guy, Roby, he played a few more snaps last night.
Dude, this defense could very well. Somebody has tweeted, maybe it was a week ago, that the Saints need to put a Dome Patrol statue in front of the Superdome. I know they probably meant of the podcast, but I think that they're going to do it with the actual, like, Ricky Jackson, Pat Swilling.
Pat Swilling.
Yeah. But I think they said they need to do that because they need to cement that legacy of, like, you know, the Purple People Leaders and, like, the Washington defense, like these great
steel curtain.
The steel curtain, like the Dome Patrol needs to be in that conversation of some of the NFL's greatest defense. I hope and think that we may look back on this defense as being better than that. Like, we need a nickname. We need a nickname for this defense.
It was Bunk Gang, wasn't it?
Good nickname.
We could be Legion of Bloom. Bloom,
because it's a fleur-de-lis. It's a flower. That is actually
good. We could take Seattle's name.
We took their coach, in our DB coach.
We also took their win. So.
if you look at what the defense has done since 2017, you know, the 17 was the first year of the improvement, so it wasn't all the way there, but then 18, 19, 20, this defense has been a top five unit over these last 4.5 years.
Only they could have done that,
right? When we had the best offense in the land.
Yeah. Could you imagine? I don't even want to think about it.
It's just going to make me mad.
Depressing and exciting at the same time. All right.
Can I throw one thing in real quick? You don't really think about it, but I was surprised to hear at how many games in a row Cam Jordan has played. Like, without, I mean,
I'm missing a game.
I don't remember the number, but, like, I think he's, like, second all-time or second active right now.
I think it was, like, 160-something. Like, he dwarfed all the rest of the defensive ends in the league.
Do you know DeMario Davis hasn't missed a game either?
Right. That's still not as many as Cam.
Right.
Right.
No, look, he's been consistent. No, you're right. It looks like he's been a little down this year, but he's been pretty damn consistent.
All right. We have a 23. Go ahead.
I think it's hold up. He played 50 of 51 games and made 32 starts. Oh, wait, that's only. Hold up. Never mind. That ain't it. Never mind. I was trying to look up how many.
Stat kid.
Holy busted metal, Batman.
It's, for some reason, it's telling me how many games he's played in a certain, like, few years instead of his all time. Yeah, so I don't know.
Found the wrong stats. All right, this 23-5 regular season road record since 2018 puts the Saints at a winning percentage in the NFL at 821, which is ranked where? Number one. Mm-hmm. We are the best road team since 2018, which is a shocking revelation since I remember it was only a few years before that where we were the worst road team.
we weren't the worst road team, but everybody just associates us with being a dome team and that we couldn't win outdoors. And yet, yeah. if you look over the life of Sean Payton, we've got a pretty good road record.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're road dogs.
Oh, you didn't promising. Know? Promising for Nashville.
Oh, this is true.
Mm-hmm. All right. Look, good defenses travel.
Now, let's talk about a few fantastic statistics from Alvin Kamastic. No? Yes? All right. Not my best, not my worst. All right.
It's pretty close to your worst.
His 179 total yards from scrimmage with 20 carries for 51 yards and 10 catches for 128 yards and one score. His where's the stat? That's 179. Okay, I'm going to cut that out. All right. His reception total of 351 for his career is now the second highest by an NFL player in their first 5 years. This passes LaDainian Tomlinson, and the only guy he is behind is Roger Craig, who had 358 catches.
So you're talking about for running backs?
Yes.
You should have clarified that. That's okay. It's all right. Just helping you along, guiding you along.
That's right.
I am a little worried about his workload.
Yeah, y'all mentioned that.
30 touches. Yeah.
He does those workouts in the offseason. He's a tough guy. But yeah, they're going to wear him out too fast.
I'm surprised that Azigbo didn't play more last night, to be honest. Like, especially in short yardage situations. Like, you don't need to be running Kamara in short yardage situations. Like, I know he's good and can do that, but in those situations, they're stacking the line. You need a hammer to go through there, and that's kind of where we missed.
Jones.
Shit. Yeah.
Tony Jones, yeah.
Jones and
I thought it was initially like 3 to 4 weeks. So he's close, but again, Saints doctors.
and we missed Taysom there too.
Yeah, that was big. A lot of plays we would have just run Taysom that we couldn't.
I think on one of the plays it was like 3rd and 10 or something, and they had to get the first down, and they relied on Kamara to get it, and he did end up getting it and a lot more yards. So
on those on 3rd and long you can get it, but 3rd and short when they're stacking the line like that, it's going to be difficult.
I think he also got like the most fantasy points he's gotten this season. I think it was
I didn't know that.
I think it was like 35. I think the guy who like played him like had his hopes up really like soon. He was like getting all cocky that he's gonna win. He's then Kamara just
the undefeated team. And yeah. Okay. Enough about Kamara. Nobody cares about Kamara's fantasy. except Scott and you. You know, he's the fastest player in NFL history to reach 3,000 combined rushing receiving yards. Mm. And it only took him 66 games to do it.
That's why he's top five running back.
That's right. And his 51 rush yards on Monday moved him into the top five rushing leaders in Saints history. 3,759 yards, surpassing Pierre Thomas.
It's hard to beat.
Pierre Thomas. So who's ahead of Pierre Thomas? Going up from him, fourth is Dalton Hilliard, then George Rogers, then Mark Ingram, and then Deuce McAllister. Y'all forgot about Mark Ingram already, didn't you?
Yep.
So Kamara, 17, 18, 19, 20, 20. In 5 years, he's got 3,759 yards. He'll pass Dalton Hilliard this year if they keep this workload up, because Dalton Hilliard's total was 4,164. He only needs like 500 yards to do that. He'll pass George Rogers this year too, actually, if he can get another that 500 yards, because George Rogers is 4,267. So Kamara could end this year as the third most successful running back as far as rushing yards goes.
In Saints history?
For the Saints, yeah. And then it's going to be a while because Ingram has 6,000 yards or 6,007. Dalton Hilliard has 6,096. So it'll be a couple of years before we talk about this again. So there you have it. All right, Jason, I believe the next segment belongs to you, and I believe we call it Pick'ems. It's all about the king of
fall like the rest. Your failure is my success. It's all about control. We make it. I will deliver the pain. You can't take it. I'm in control.
It is interesting. I went to go look at my sheet. You know, I usually, for the past few years, I've had every week, but over the last few weeks, since I've missed a show here and there, and it's been a little different, my records are incomplete. You're the one that has the official record, so I'm going to turn it back over to you to go through all the standings and see how we did last week.
Ooh, it's like a flea flicker. Mm-hmm. I hand it off to you. You have pissed it back to me. All right, so this week looks like I won the week with a 4-1 record.
Dang.
Jason and James, 3-2. Oh, as well as Uncle Baby Billy. Can't forget him. That shit ass cat.
Yeah.
followed by Scott. Ooh, Scott, you fell this week. 2-3. And then Ben, back where he belongs at the bottom, 1-4. So overall,
what did I get?
This is you. Oh, you went 4-1 this week as well.
Right? Oh, so you don't want to like you don't want to mention tying. You don't want to mention me tying first place with you.
You'll see. So you will get mentioned when we get to this bigger league. In first place, a new leader emerges, and it is Andrew.
Holy God.
You are in first place in Pick'ems with now. You did miss a couple of weeks, like those first 2 weeks. So
it's strategy. It's strategy.
But you do have the highest winning percentage at 640. You are 16-9. Second place, me.
What? Are you sure this isn't rigged?
With a 600 winning percentage. I'm 21-14. Then Scott. So Scott, your shitty week has now dropped you from, what was it, first or second to now third.
Just like doing fantasy.
Allie Gibbs.
It's a lot of me.
Allie Gibbs, who was in first for the longest time, has dropped to fourth because he went 0-5 this week.
Ooh.
Nice. Yeah. And then Farmer, Big Easy Gajon.
Yeah.
Jake, Andrew's brother. Uncle Baby Billy. So, yeah, Uncle Baby Billy, Trevor Bruno.
Wait, did Wes, you say Big Big Easy Guy John, what place is he in?
Yeah, he's in sixth place.
Nice.
They just love saying Big Easy Guy John. All right. Wes, Jay Klein. So Jay Klein is at the 500 level. So everybody above Jay Klein is in the winning percentage. Mr. Coach Klein, Paul Perrette, and Dad to Twins are all 500. And then we hit the loser's bracket. Carp.
Is Neil?
Sans Hobbs. Of course, Neil's in the loser's bracket. James, the Mailman, Jambalaya Brothers, Neil, then Ben, then Jason.
Damn it. Neil still beat me?
Oh, yeah. Jason, you are second to last. Drummer, but you're only one game ahead of Drummer, Jason. You are having a very Neil-bentastic season.
It's one of those pick'em seasons from hell. It's like my schedule's all discombined. Out of sync, out of sorts.
All right, so there's your larger league. Let's get into this week's games.
All right, so when I originally looked at the schedule, I'm like, man, there's really not a lot of good games. So I'm like, oh, there must be a lot of buys this week. There's only two buys this week. The Raiders and the Ravens are on a bye, but the best game of the week we can't take because it's Thursday. That's Packers and Cardinals. It's easily the game of the week. Can't take the Bucks or the Saints because it's the Saints. So I consider just doing, yeah, let's just do a shitty week of the week. You know,
shitty week of the week, shitty week of the year.
Right. So, I mean, there's some interesting games here and then just a lot of poop. So we will start with our first game at AFC North battle. Pittsburgh Steelers coming off a bye. They travel to Cleveland to play a Browns team that had a nice win on Thursday night of last week playing with a backup quarterback. So I'm guessing Baker Mayfield still will not play, but they might be better with I think Kyle Allen was the starter last week. Case Keenum. That's who it was, Case Keenum. And they won. Now, granted, it was against Denver, but they won. So, but they might be a little better. So this game is in Cleveland, and they're favored by 3.5.
Cleveland favored by 3.5.
And you said Case Keenum's playing, not Baker Mayfield?
If I had to guess, I would say Case Keenum because – Baker's got I don't think it's his throwing shoulder, but he's got a shoulder injury. So I'm guessing Baker does not play.
Give me the Steelers.
Yeah, I'll take the Steelers too.
I'm also taking, you know what? Wait, Steelers are getting 3.5?
No, they're giving 3.5.
Oh, Cleveland's getting the points.
Wait, no. you said.
Yeah, Cleveland's said... Cleveland is favored by 3.5. So, yes, I'm sorry. Pittsburgh is getting the
okay,
points.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
I'll take the points on this one. Yeah.
Make it a sweep, taking Pittsburgh too. Our next game, the Dallas Cowboys coming off a bye after their overtime win against New England the week prior. They travel to Minnesota, play a Vikings team that was also on a bye last week. They're 3-3, and they're coming off an overtime win the previous week. Dak Prescott is questionable. He had like a mild calf strain, so they did have the bye. I guess he's going to play, but it's still too early to know. Dallas has been hot right now. This game is in Minnesota, and the Vikings are getting 2.5 at home. So
I'll take Dallas.
And you said Dak Prescott has an injury?
He tweaked his calf. Jerry Jones seems to think he's going to play.
Okay, then I'll take Dallas.
No, my eyes are not too far apart.
I am going to take the Vikings.
Oh, man, I really want to take Dallas, but I'm taking Dallas. Screw it. I'm taking Dallas.
All right. And y'all, so would, y'all, will. Y'all all live in cowboy country. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, you're at the second to last in the entire pick 'em, so I'm kind of glad that you took that.
Got to catch up somehow. our next game, a crappy NFC South battle. The Carolina Panthers, who the wheels have just fallen off. They benched Darnold this week. They don't look so good giving up all those picks for freaking Sam Darnold. We should be, as Saints fans, we should be thankful that that's who they hitched their wagon to. They travel to Atlanta, play a Falcons team that's suddenly 3-3. Granted, those wins were against bad teams, but Atlanta can still score some points. It looks like Kyle Pitts is finally coming on. This game is in the metal asshole, and the Falcons are favored by 3.
I'll tell you the thing about Carolina, which is the same thing that happens every year. Carolina,
I told you this.
Andrew, yeah. Well, then you say it.
Okay. Every year, the Carolina Panthers, for the past 5 years, have started out about 3-0, and they ended up having a losing record every year. So everyone hypes them up. Everyone hypes them up in the beginning of the year, and then they just die. So.
But the reason they do is because they ride Christian McCaffrey and he gets hurt every year, about third or fourth week of the year. They cannot win without him.
And that's why I'm taking Atlanta.
Oh, I like that, the way you did that. Well done, like a seasoned professional.
Yeah,
I took Atlanta last week and got screwed by a half a point. So I will not take them again. I take Carolina.
I'm going to hold my nose and take Atlanta.
I want Carolina to win because I have DJ Moore on my fantasy team, but yeah.
I will take Atlanta because Atlanta's going to screw you either way.
Yeah. Yeah, they will. All right. Another poop factor game. The Washington football team coming off a loss to Green Bay. I mean, they are struggling. There's still the massive email scandal that they're having to deal with. Their owner sucks. They're arguably the worst franchise in the league, if not all of pro sports. They travel to Denver, face a Broncos team that started out 3-0, and the wheels have fallen off here. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Remember, Denver played against the three worst teams in the NFL the first 3 weeks. Yeah. That's why they were 3-0.
Who were 0-9 at like the third game. So
yeah. Now that's a stat I can get behind. So I guess it's still going to be Teddy. But man, yeah. Broncos are favored by 3 at home.
Well, this is a shitty game.
I guess I'm going to take the points because they both suck.
I mean, that's not a bad strategy.
But I think the Texans have the worst franchise in the NFL. Just saying.
The Texans are pretty bad, but with all the dysfunction in Washington from top down owner to players and the fact that they were once, you know, one of the model franchises of the league in the last 20 years, just been driven to the ground by an awful owner. I'm going to take Denver because I think Washington just sucks. Not that Denver doesn't, but
I'm going to take Denver as well.
Man. Andrew, you took Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to take Denver because it's the only way I'm going to be able to get separation and try to overtake you in for first place.
That usually doesn't end well when you focus on someone else and not yourself.
I am number one.
I know.
All right. And our final crappy game of the week.
He censored it for the kids.
Yeah. The San Francisco 49ers coming off a loss in the rain Sunday night to the Colts. They traveled to Chicago to play a Bears team that got spanked by Tampa this week.
They both suck.
Now, Matt Nagy, the Bears coach, has COVID, so he will not be around this week, but that might actually be a good thing. Just two bad teams. This game's in Chicago. Bears are getting 3.5 at home.
I might have to take the points because against the Colts, I think they let Carson Wentz get like 25 rushing yards, something like that. Carson Wentz.
Did you say San Francisco will be without what's his name? Quarterback, handsome Jimmy G.
I don't know. I don't know who's quarterbacking them. I think it's Jimmy G.
Jimmy G quarterback last week. I don't think he got hurt or anything.
He played last week. What about
their running back situation?
Third string. Yeah.
And their George Kittle situation?
Out. I believe he's still out.
Okay. I'm taking the Bears. Points. Yep.
I'm taking the 49ers. The Bears are hot, hot garbage right now.
I wonder what the interim,
Fields can do it.
I'm going to take San Francisco as well.
So we'll lose together.
We'll lose together. So
that's final lock in. No more.
I'll tell you the real other reason is last week I went against the points in the shitty game, and I do kind of it serves you better always when you take two shitty teams that you just take the points. Period. So I do think San Francisco is going to win the game, but I think it's going to be one of them half point deals. So yeah, I'm gonna stick with Chicago.
All right, so that's our slate this week. We got Pittsburgh at Cleveland. Cleveland favored by 3.5. Dallas at Minnesota. Minnesota is getting 2.5 at home. Carolina at Atlanta. Atlanta favored by 3. Washington at Denver. Denver favored by 3. And San Francisco at Chicago. The Bears are getting 3.5 at home.
All right, don't forget everybody, tweet your picks in before the first kickoff. And when I like them, I've recorded them. Thank you for playing Pick'ems. Now it is time to move into our final segment, which is Saints Preview. And the Saints are playing against the Tampa Bay Tombaneers.
What was that last one? What was their team name?
Tampa Bay Tombaneers. What do you think this one's going to go? Last year, we swept them in the regular season, and then they handed us our hats in the playoff game. Do they have our number? Are things different? Well, clearly they're different. We have a different quarterback, but we have a better defense. Like, Tom Brady has not faced a defense like this at all this year, right?
Not a defense that can get pressure. That's the thing. If he can stand back there, forget it. I mean, that's why he's got all these yards and all these touchdowns right now.
And he's got Gronkowski.
Gronkowski's out, but I'm sure he'll be back to play us because that's what happens.
Yeah. I don't know why, but Antonio Brown has all of a sudden become targeted more. So we're not just going to have to
guard Mike. He's taking his medicine.
Yeah, we're not just going to have to be guarding Mike Evans. We're also have to guard Antonio Brown. Gronkowski's probably going to show up. And do they still have Chris Godwin?
Yep.
Okay, that's pretty solid. Glad to see record.
Now I get what it used to feel like to play against us 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Evans had 3 touchdowns last week against the Bears, but luckily Lattimore is going to shut him down. We know that.
Yeah, I think he's got like 3 catch or I forgot what it was, but like Marshawn Lattimore owned Mike Evans last year. Didn't let him get a single catch the whole year.
It'll be nice to be back in the dome. I mean, it's crazy how few home games we've had. Even without the storm, we'd have only had 2 home games up through Halloween, which is crazy. So we get a couple of games back to back. I'm curious to see what the crowd's going to be like, because Gunn did mention, I think, that there are reasonable tickets available still, which I'm starting to get a little worried that there are that many tickets available.
Like, what is going on?
I think it's COVID. I think people are just scared at this point.
Why not anywhere else?
People don't want to deal with it, even though once I get in the stadium.
But why not anywhere else? Here, where this
we're one of the places that makes you get the shot that makes you have proof of vaccination.
Yeah. So what about the governor now lifting the mask mandate?
I don't know. The
mayor can still do what she wants.
Yeah, she can still do what she wants. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's going to change anything. It definitely won't change anything by Sunday, I don't think. I also think I know we can stop them defensively. I'm just kind of like we talked about before, I'm worried about our offense. Like, we might have to pitch a shutout for us to win this game. If we can score in the low teens, high teens, low 20s, I think we can win.
Is Mike Thomas coming back?
He ain't coming back.
I would hope he'd be ready this week, but he's not. He hadn't been practicing yet.
I don't trust anything they say at this point because they keep saying people coming back and they never do.
That's another week on fantasy.
We did have a lot of people come back last week.
Thank goodness for that IR slot on my fantasy team.
Hey, I got him in a couple leagues too. I'm just waiting.
Just be patient.
He's right. Going to arrive for like the playoff game.
That's it. That's all I need him for. Just I got to get there first.
Like an upgrade. Yep.
So, right, yeah, that's the thing. The offense is going to have to do more than what we did last night. Even if the defense plays well, it's hard to imagine. I mean, it is crazy. You know, the one game in Tampa last year, we just whipped them. And what do we hold them to? Like 3 points? I mean, that's I think we can hold them to 14, 17, you know, that area.
I agree. Yeah, we'd score. How good is their defense?
Their defense has a lot of talent. It's pretty good, but they might be able to be beat in the secondary, but we don't have the greatest passing game right now. Devin White's awesome in linebacker. You know, it's going to be tough to run on them.
And they have Richard Sherman as their cornerback.
No, he got hurt already.
Coach. No, he's coaching the cornerbacks right now.
Because he got hurt in the first game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I am worried about this game, but this is one of those where Sean Payton spends a lot of time focusing and creating a very clever game plan. I expect to see a trick play in this one.
Taysom.
No, those aren't tricks anymore. Like, I expect like a fake punt, or I wouldn't do a fake punt. I'd do a fake field goal, actually.
That's if Taysom's back, because we haven't heard anything on that yet either.
Or I'd feel better if Harris was playing too. So we won't know about Harris yet. The good thing is we're going to be underdogs, so not a lot of pressure on us. Everybody's going to pick Tampa, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Except that we're America's game of the week. That's all.
I think Jeff, what was that stat I was reading? I think it's the first time we're an underdog under Sean Payton in the dome versus Tampa.
Oh, that's very specific.
Oh yeah, it is.
On Halloween. When it's the first time.
In the 3:30 slot.
While being America's game of the week.
Yeah. So at least you guys, I mean, you won't have Joe Buck because he's off calling the World Series.
Yeah, we
still get Aikman.
It's Astros versus Braves, I think.
Yeah.
So I know I wish the game was at noon. I mean, the 3:30 games are okay, but it's the timing is like how early, you know, because I need to get down there early enough to get my parking spot, but I also don't want to be down there for 4 hours.
Are you going to wear a costume to the game, Jason, since it's Halloween?
Yeah, I'm going to go dressed as a Saints fan.
So, score predictions, Scott.
I'm going to go 15-3. We kick 5 field goals.
Wow.
Ew.
You mean we cook 7 and we miss 2?
Thunderstruck!
Exactly.
Jason, score?
24-21. Eke it out. Last second field goal. The guy comes up big once again.
All right. Andrew?
2017. Saints on top.
2017. All right. I'm going to say 16-14 Saints. Ooh. 1 touchdown, 3 field goals. And like Jason, the last attempts. One is as the clock expires. Yeah, 13 attempts. Oh, wait, no, Rosas isn't kicking.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
I'll be interested to see what the crowd's like.
I'm just upset that it's a Halloween game. And I would really like to eat some Reese's peanut butter cups while watching this game, but I can't. I have to eat.
I'll be right next to you eating them. It's okay.
Vegetables. So I do need you to save me some candy for whenever I am able to eat candy.
Do they have like sugar-free ones you could eat? I mean, I know there's all the weird chemicals. The
sugar-free stuff gives you the shits.
Yeah.
They give you the, like, Gunn's cat. No, I don't know. Isn't there a candy y'all don't like that I like?
Not anymore.
What can what candy don't you like? None of them.
I don't like apples, you know.
I like apples.
You can take all the apples that I get. You know, those people that hand out the healthy stuff.
Yeah.
Apple slices.
What about the dentist hands out, Jeff?
Yeah. What about the candies that's just the black wrapper and the orange wrapper?
Those can kill you.
It's like the weird consistency, almost like toffee, but
yeah, it's like a peanut butter taffy or something.
It's taffy, that's it. Yeah. It always
sticks. Oh, I love those. I love those.
Damn it. Me too. Damn it. What about those ones that are like this? They're rectangular. They're kind of whitish, and they have like it's like a small
peanut
like
butter
wafery. Yeah, like a peanut butter wafery thing. The wrapper has like has lines on it, so it looks like it's a candy with lines.
I know what you're talking about.
Damn it, Smarties!
If you haven't figured out, he's gonna say he loves every candy.
Yeah, I love Smarties too. They're like my favorite.
Why did I teach you what good candy tastes like? Oh, I know you don't like Airheads, right?
I love them.
I love them.
Skittles?
Yep.
Not a big Skittles holiday, is it?
Yeah, me neither. Yeah.
Halloween should be more of a chocolate.
Yeah.
It is chocolate. Why? Because it's nighttime or something?
You said you didn't like chocolate a few
Easter's
days ago.
Easter's a chocolatey.
I associate Halloween with chocolate candy. I mean, I guess you could see the same about Easter.
Yeah.
The bunnies.
Chocolate bunnies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, greatest candy of all time, though, is the Reese's, but not the cups. How they started coming out with the shapes. You know, you get your Christmas trees, your pumpkins.
You really think that's the greatest of all time?
That's the best candy of all time.
Wow.
And the egg is the best of those because it is the most peanut butter to chocolate ratio. Like, even the pumpkin has a little extra chocolate because you got the stem. Christmas tree's got a little extra chocolate because you got the ridges and whatnot.
So this went from Saints to the best candy comparing chocolate to peanut butter.
It's the Halloween special. We're going to
like
write candy.
I don't think that's the greatest of all time, but you know, I think Drew Brees is greatest of all time.
The Drew Brees candy?
Yep.
What's the Drew Brees candy? What's the Drew Brees of candy?
There was in diamond shape.
You're going to say something like gummies or something.
No, Starburst.
Ugh.
Oh, classic. Kid likes the classics. Mm-hmm.
No, Baby Ruth all the way.
Hey, that's a pretty good one, too.
Reese's is the best. I'm sorry.
Baby Ruth boomers. Is good, Jason, but...
Classic boomers.
Yeah. Right.
What do you like? The Twizzlers with the gummy nerds that have the gummy
rope?
On the inside? But
you talking about the rope?
Not the rope.
No.
The egg ones.
Yeah.
It's like a hard
You get shell. Those. You
no,
get
Andrea
those.
Gets those.
No, but it's always in your car. I'm just talking about.
Yeah,
my brother gave me a bag like 3 years ago. Still haven't finished them.
Andrea
for the regular nerds them. Over
that's
those.
Her favorites. She used to like nerd ropes. She still.
I mean, hard to go wrong with Snickers too. But I mean, I like Twix, Kit Kat, Snickers, Baby
Chewy
Ruth. Those are like the top four.
Sweet tarts, Chewy sweet tarts, best candy ever.
Nope.
Get or the out. Little Thank tiny. You remember Tartan Tinies? They're like little tiny.
Take your toys.
No, Tartan Tinies are little, they look like Jujube shapes, like the little pellets.
Nobody knows what Jujubes are.
Look at the size of that tart, man. That tart is huge, man.
It's a tiny tart.
Best candy, hot tamales. Underrated. Underrated movie candy.
He's not wrong about underrated. Right,
that's movie candy, not Halloween candy.
Yeah, I don't know if it's it's up there as greatest, but they're definitely underrated.
I'm not a fan of that cinnamon hot.
Oh no, it's great. This is the secret. Get some Mr. Pibb at the movies with some hot tamales. Drink your Mr. Pibb. It's like Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, I know what it is, but I'm saying.
But like, why wouldn't
why
you say
get,
Dr. Pepper?
Just get Dr. Pepper.
Because a lot of times
person,
they don't have. Look,
but
you
have
to
pay
extra.
Who starts with Mr. Pibb instead of
no,
Dr.
No, because you at movie theaters they usually have Mr. Pibb because you have to pay extra for Dr. Pepper. It doesn't come with the regular Coke because Dr. Pepper is technically in the Pepsi category or something.
Just
but
get
anyway,
an icy then. Just get an icy.
What kind of movie theaters y'all got up there?
Get Mr. Pibb.
I don't know what theater he's going to.
Yeah.
Drink the Mr. Pibb.
Nope.
Have the ice in the cup. Pour some hot tamales in the cup with the ice. Let the ice melt. and then drink the juice from the hot tamales and the ice. I'm telling you, it is the greatest thing you will ever drink in
you
your life.
You know what? You know why you're like thing. That? You know, he's setting you up so that when you turn 18, you can drink Fireball and
Goldschlager.
Like Fireball and Dr. Pepper, which is a popular drink among the 18-21-year-olds.
I don't think I'll be trying that.
Good. Very good answer. Dude, he's going to be a real man. He's going to drink vodka and squirts.
Oh, jeez.
What I will be trying to do is beating you in fantasy, though. That's what I'm more focused on.
Look at him.
Don't forget about that matchup.
Do you play Scott this week or something?
Huh? No, I'm playing Ryan. Ryan,
yeah.
His players are booming, so I'm not too happy.
Well, that was a nice candy conversation.
That's right. All right.
Listeners, why don't you let us know what your favorite candy is?
Yeah, tweet us your favorite candy. Hashtag Pick'em's Candy.
Yeah, tweet us.
Tweet us. Final thoughts, anybody, other than your favorite Halloween candy?
Point out again, Pelicans got their first win for Coach Willie Green last night, which was nice. Just trying to hold down the fort until Zion comes back. So I got multiple games. There's a game tomorrow. There's a game Friday and Saturday. I don't know if I'm going to go both on the weekend, but probably tomorrow.
All right.
My final thought, since LSU is on a bye, there will be no Tigers in this week. So just letting everybody know, don't look for it in the stream because it will not be there. We will have a game preview for Bama the following week and a recap of the shitty game versus Ole Miss.
All right. Andrew, final thoughts?
Troutman. He's a good player. That's it.
He just wants to hear the real big fish clip.
Everybody's doing the fish. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Better.
Everybody's doing the fish. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. Troutman's
That's fine. You're not required to have a final thought.
He's feature of the franchise.
Whew. Wow, that's bold.
We're going to have a conversation about this.
Yeah, right.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network of podcasts, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge Podcast, the Premier League Podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tigers Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, at Tiger _ Podcast, and at Dome Patrol Prem. We don't have enough Twitter accounts, y'all.
Follow us on Facebook. Andrew needs to get his own Twitter.
He might. Well, he gotta keep using my old stuff for Twitter yet. Twitter is a cesspool. So, everybody on Twitter, how y'all doing? Follow us on Facebook, search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to DomePatrolPodcast.com. Okay, bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, suspended on your mata, donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Yeah, what he said.
La, la, la. It's not so bad being trendy. Everyone who looks like me is my friend. Please don't hate me because I'm trendy. You're not going to laugh at me.